I'd like to have you turn again, please, to the book of Numbers and chapter 20. Book of Numbers, chapter 20. Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month. And the people abode in Kadesh. And Miriam died there and was buried there. And there was no water for the congregation. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people chode with Moses and spake, saying, Would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. And why have you brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? And wherefore have you made us to come up out of Egypt, to bring us into this evil place? It is no place of seed, or of figs, or of vines, or of pomegranates. Neither is there any water to drink. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes. And it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron, Because you believe me not, to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. This is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and he was sanctified in them. And Moses sent messengers from Kadesh unto the king of Edom. Thus saith thy brother Israel, Thou knowest all the travail that hath befallen us, how our fathers went down into Egypt, and we have dwelt in Egypt a long time, and the Egyptians vexed us and our fathers. When we cried unto the Lord, he heard our voice, and sent an angel, and hath brought us forth out of Egypt, and behold, we are in Kadesh, a city in the uttermost of thy border. Let us pass, I pray thee, through thy country. We will not pass through the fields, or through the vineyards, neither will we drink of the water of the wells. We will go by the king's highway. We will not turn to the right hand nor to the left, until we have passed thy borders. And Edom said unto him, Thou shalt not pass by me, lest I come out against thee with a sword. Verse 21, Thus Edom refused to give Israel passage through his border. Wherefore Israel turned away from him, and the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, journeyed from Kadesh and came unto Mount Hor. And the Lord spoke unto Moses there and in Mount Hor, by the coast of the land of Edom, saying, Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, for he shall not enter into the land which I have given unto the children of Israel, because ye rebelled against my word at the water of Meribah. Take Aaron and Eleazar his son, bring them up into Mount Hor, and strip Aaron of his garments, and put them upon Eleazar his son. And Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, and shall die there. And Moses did as the Lord commanded, and they went up into Mount Hor in the sight of all the congregation. Moses stripped Aaron of his garments, put them upon Eleazar his son, and Aaron died there in the top of the mount. And Moses and Eleazar came down from the mount. Now let's read a parallel portion, please, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. The Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth in chapter 10, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." Now, I thought it better to speak about this chapter tonight rather than this morning, because this morning's chapter has a particular gospel message with it. But this chapter is very important too, and has a lot of teaching for us as God's people. Now, we've called this the high rock because in the journeyings of the nation of Israel, we see that there were two rocks smitten in order that water might be brought out of them for the congregation. One was the low rock in Horeb. The other was the high rock here in this particular chapter. The low rock because it was a smitten rock. The high rock because it was a spiritual rock. And the Apostle Paul commenting on this, he says, they drank of that spiritual rock which followed them, and that rock was Christ. Now the Apostle Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, in his first letter, has much to reprimand the people for. These people were Greek nationals. And you and I know full well in reading their history that there were a people who were concerned very much with learning new things and following this one and following that one. And so many things had crept into the church in Corinth that the Apostle Paul had to reprimand them for these things. And he had to take them back and tell them about the things that happened aforetime that happened for their learning. He had to take them back in thought to the wilderness. And he had to take them back again to this rock, this high rock. And he had to tell them that that was but a figure of the Lord Jesus Christ, the spiritual rock, that of course is higher than any rock, and higher of course than the kings of the earth. The Lord Jesus Christ was very, very evident here to them. And so the Apostle Paul, he brings them back to this place and he tells them about the nation of Israel, that they all were baptized in the cloud and the sea. 100%. They were set aside, they were separated to Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and therefore separated and consecrated to the Lord as his people. Then he says, they all ate the same spiritual food. And they all drank the same spiritual drink. Because they drank of that spiritual rock which followed them, and that rock was Christ. Now comes what Paul is wanting to tell them. He said, although they were all on the one level, as far as the gifts of God were concerned to them, the Apostle Paul said, God was displeased with many of them because of their behavior and because of their conversation. And now this has a spiritual lesson for us as God's people. We all have the same spiritual meat. And we all drink the same spiritual drink because we today drink of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So that as we walk together the Christian life, heavenward and homeward, we're all blessed with the same spiritual blessings that Israel was, 100%, but the Apostle Paul counsels the Corinthians not to be among those with whom God was displeased. And we learned this morning from the history of the serpent on the pole that if God's people will not walk with him in harmony and walk with him in joy in the Lord, then they must suffer the consequences of that walk. So the apostles bringing these things to their notice so that they might know how to walk and they might know how to live as they look back to the history of the nation of Israel. Now, we have the secret of this in their day and in our day in the words of the hymn that Betty sang. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. It's all summed up in those beautiful words. This is what the Corinthians had to learn. And they had to learn it by being taken back again to the experiences of the nation of Israel in the wilderness. Now, let's go back to the wilderness scene to see what we can learn from that. Now, this is a difficult subject to take because of the fact that Moses failed in this particular occasion. And I would want to be the very last person to find any fault with Moses, because there was a beautiful man, there was a tremendous life, but there is the warning in this that it's easy to be sidetracked by the devil at his will. Now, in this chapter, Moses had three very great trials. Number one, the death of Miriam. He lost his only sister. Number two, his brethren, the Edomites, refused to let the nation of Israel go through the land of Edom. And thirdly, Moses lost his brother, with whom he had worked right from the time that they went into Egypt, the death of Aaron. Now, Moses was but a man. He was a great man. But he was a man that, like Elijah, was subject to like passions as we are. He was a man that was dependent entirely upon his God. And Moses failed in this chapter beneath a threefold trial. And I don't suppose that there is one of us here in this audience tonight, and the speaker included, that could have done anything near what Moses did in the circumstances that he found himself in. The death of Miriam. Miriam was gone. But blessed be God, Moses' God remained. thou remainest. And I'm sure Moses knew this. And I'm sure in his sorrow, he entered into the fullness of it. We think back into the life of Miriam. And we think how that the nation of Israel, on that joyous occasion, on the banks of the Red Sea, they all joined together to sing the song of Moses and the Lamb. They all joined together to sing the song of redemption. And the Word of God says that when that song had been sung, that Miriam took a timbrel in her hand and she led the Israelite women in a song that reached to heaven. The Lord hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he cast into the sea. It was a joyous occasion. One of the most joyous there had ever been in Israel's history. The Egyptians perished in the sea. The Israelites came through the waters. And now they were not only brought out of the land, brought through the sea, and on their way to the promised land. And they sang like they had never sang before. But now, the voice was silent. The timbrel was silent. Miriam's leadership was ended. And they mourned for her there in Kadesh. Looking back over Miriam's life, along with Aaron, there had been great failure. And nothing much, if anything, had been ever said in the holy page about Miriam until the fact that she died from the time that she was leprous outside the camp. Oh, how careful we should be in our manner of life, the way we live before the Lord. These things are for our learning, says the Apostle Paul. Moses was feeling the sorrow of separation. And there arose in the meeting tonight that are feeling the sorrow of separation. And I have trodden that path too, and I know what it is. But the fact is that he, our God, remaineth. And he's able to encourage and to keep. Secondly, Edom's refusal to let Israel go through the land. Now the next chapter tells you that because of this, they had to compass the land of Edom. They had to go right round by the Red Sea, what is called the Gulf of Aqaba today. And they had to go right round that way and up towards the promised land. Because the Edomites refused to give them passage through their land. Israel had a mighty fighting force. They could have easily forced their way through the land. But they retreated from them, and they went and compassed the land of Edom and went round the other way. Why? We have to go back to understand this, to Jacob and Esau. And we have to see Esau coming out of the field and desiring of Jacob that he would feed him with that red pottage. And Jacob said, "Sell me your birthright." Esau said, "What good is it to me? Give me the pottage, because I am at the point to die." The apostle said that Esau was a profane person who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Now, when Jacob comes back to the land, after all the years there, away from the land, Esau comes to meet him with 600 men. And I tell you this, it was only because of the hand of God that there wasn't a battle raging there on the plain. And God took Esau. And instead of turning his sword against Jacob, he threw his arms round him on the plain. And they were joined together by the grace of God. Now, God forbade Esau to harm Jacob. Now the Edomites, of course, were descendants of Esau. Esau was called Edom. And so Moses said, your brethren ask you if they can come through the land. And Edom said, no, you can't come. They never forgot the fact that Jacob stole the birthright, stole the blessing, and they were at enmity one with the other. But Israel was prevented by the same grace that prevented Esau. They turned away, and they went around to compass the land of Edom in order that they might not battle against their brethren. Wonderful grace of God here in this chapter. And now, the third thing. Aaron's death. What do you suppose that it did to Moses? When God told Moses to take his brother up on the mount, to take those beautiful garments off him, and to give those garments to Eleazar, and to lay his brother down in the almighty arms of God, and he died there. And the priesthood then fell on the shoulders of Eleazar. Hebrews chapter 7 tells us that this priesthood could not continue by reason of death. But our Lord Jesus Christ is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Oh, what a wonderful priesthood he has for us today. Where the old Aaronic priesthood could not continue by reason of death, how much better the priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ after the Melchizedek order is now at God's right hand, a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, with these things behind us, and with these things tearing at the heart of Moses, God says to him, take the rod. Take the rod. Read it carefully when you read this portion. Take the rod. And go before the people and speak to the rock. And the rock shall pour out water abundantly for you. Now let's go back just a moment to Exodus chapter 17 now. And we don't need to read it now, but God said to Moses, take thy rod, the rod wherewith thou smitest the river, and I will go before you on the rock in Horeb, and you shall smite the rock, and it shall bring out water for the people. Now this was the rod of authority. This was Moses' rod. Let's be careful we understand that. This was Moses' rod. And when he smote the river, what happened in Egypt? It was turned into blood. Now this is the whole secret of the thing. That rod that smote the low rock is a type to us all of the Lord Jesus Christ who was smitten upon the cross of Calvary, and his blood was shed that we might be redeemed from all our sins. Moses now had been told to take the rod, and Moses did take the rod from before the Lord. Notice that. He took the rod from before the Lord because it was laid up in the tabernacle, because it had blossoms on it, because it had buds on it, and because it had almonds on it. It was the rod of priesthood. It was the rod that would guide the nation of Israel from this point onward right through to the promised land. Nothing but the priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ can guide us in this evil world today right on to the Father's house. Nothing. It's the rod of priesthood, and up yonder at God's right hand is our priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord. You notice that Moses was careful to do what God told him. And when Moses gathered all the people together, and there he is with all the people gathered in front of the high rock, and Moses was told to speak to that rock, then in the sight of all the people, Moses didn't take Aaron's rod. He couldn't have smitten the rock with that. It would have destroyed the blossoms and the fruit. But it says with his rod, he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly to the people. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ was the smitten rock once and once only. Once in the end of the age as he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. One sacrifice, one Calvary, one cross is all that there ever will be. And it was sufficient for the salvation of the whole world. Moses, man distraught in this chapter by what he'd had to suffer and by what he had gone through, here now speaks unadvisably with his lips. Well, you know, I almost tremble to speak about this. But there it is in our chapter, and we have it there in this particular part of the book of Numbers. Instead of speaking to the rock, he spoke to the people. God said, speak to the rock, and he spoke to the people. And he said, hear now, you rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? In doing that, he failed to sanctify the Lord in his heart before the people. Peter, when he speaks to us today, he says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready to give an answer to anyone that asketh a reason of the hope that is within you, and do it with meekness and fear. It is important that we sanctify the Lord God in our hearts, and we seek not to take any credit for anything that is done unto ourselves. Dear Moses, he spoke unadvisedly with his lips. Now, I don't suppose anybody needs this lesson more than I do. Very easy to speak unadvisedly with our lips. Very, very easy. Very, very easy for any of us to speak unadvisedly with our lips. But when the Pharisees and the soldiers returned to Pilate, they said, never man spake like this man. His words were perfect. He never had a word to recall. He never had a step to retrace. Our blessed Lord, perfect in every way, shape, or form. Oh, the perfection that there is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Moses missed the mark on that day. He failed to realize that that rock which stood before him was the rock that Paul would speak about. That rock was Christ in type. And the nation of Israel drank of that spiritual rock, and that rock was Christ, the same rock that you and I depend on today for the refreshment of our hearts as we journey on the Christian way. You see how important it is for us to be careful. If this could happen to God's great man, oh, how much easier it could happen to me. It could happen to you. God has laid these things on the page of Holy Writ in order that we might profit by it. God said to him, because you believe not in me to sanctify me before the people, neither of you shall lead the nation of Israel into the promised land. Now Miriam didn't see it. And neither did Aaron. But Moses did. You remember when Moses died, God took him on the top of Mount Nebo and showed him all the land before he laid him down in the everlasting arms. But you know, as we think about Moses, and we think about a gracious God, and yet a God that came out in perfect government and perfect control of his servant there, and refused his entry into the promised land. In the New Testament, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, we see two men on the Mount of Transfiguration. And what a beautiful sight it is. We all know that. We all thrill when we think about it. Those two men are the two men that were so mighty for God and failed so miserably when they were put to the test. But there they are on the mount. And what are they doing? They are consulting with the Son of God about the greatest event in the whole world's history and the history of eternity. I tell you, these two men, Moses and Elijah, were there at the greatest summit that this world has ever known. Dear Moses, he spoke unadvisedly with his lips, but a gracious God exalted him and made him a partner with the Lord Jesus Christ. They spoke of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus took care of the burial, and God himself took care of the resurrection. But Moses was given a part in talking with the Lord Jesus Christ concerning the work of the cross. And to me, that's amazing. When I look back at this man and I think of his life, I thank God for him tonight. I take courage. We have a God that's gracious. We have a God that will reward far in excess of anything that we're worth. Now let us be careful as we go on our Christian way to take courage and to take instruction from these things that God has brought to our attention today. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank thee for Moses and his wonderful life. We thank thee for the water of life that the Lord Jesus Christ alone can provide. As we look back at the refreshing streams that were brought out of the flinty rock, and how that the rock was made a fountain of standing water, O our God, we thank thee for these things. But we thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, who at that great day of the feast could say, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. We pray, our Father, there might not be a thirsty soul here tonight that could not be satisfied with the water that he has provided through his death upon the cross of Calvary. And now, our Father, dismiss us with thy blessing. Take us to our homes in safety. May the